Today in our liturgy we have a very interesting passage in Jesus' life that I believe will teach us, of course, about Jesus, about his disciples, about that woman, Canaanite woman, that he met. And we'll talk about us as well. It is taken from the Gospel of Matthew. You know, the Gospels, when we have our Bible, we begin the first words of the Gospel, it does not come with an introduction. I know that most scriptures, they will have one page or two that will kind of set the context. But many people don't read that. They go directly to the Word as it was written and passed on, you know, from that came down to us. But today is no, although they call exegetes, so those who study the scriptures, they can say that the Gospel of Matthew was written mostly to a community. Each one of the Gospels, they were written like books of catechisms. You know, other people away from Jerusalem, in some cases away from Judea, the place where Jesus grew and lived, they came to know Jesus, but never met Jesus. The Gospels was a way of them knowing Jesus, his miracles, his teachings, his person, the mystery of salvation. So that's why the Gospel were written. And the each one for a different community, a different context. Matthew, it is said that was the community to whom the Gospel was written was mostly a Jewish community, Jewish who converted and accepted Jesus as their Messiah, their Savior. And of course, there are also those who did not come from a Jewish tradition. The Greeks and other nations, the Romans, they never heard about, you know, the commandments. They did not know Moses. You know, they came from a totally different world. Yet, they also accepted Jesus. So sometimes, since the Gospels, they were not written as Jesus was walking, somebody was taking notes. No. They were written two generations after, you know, some of them. So, what we find in today, Jesus meeting this Canaanite woman. First, he goes to a region called Tyre and Sidon. You know, that's outside of Palestine. That's outside of the Jewish world. That was considered, you know, the land of the what they call the Gentiles. The non-Jewish world. So Jesus is there with his disciples. And then this woman approaches, come to him. Canaanite woman, she was not Jewish, that's, you know. And something very unusual. In that society, in that world, in public, a woman to come up and address a man whom she does not know, she's not familiar, is not her husband, is not a member of, close member of her family. So she's not supposed to, in public, address or to talk to anyone. We know that Jesus broke that tradition in several situations. You know, when he talked to the woman, you know, by the well, the Samaritan woman, that was not common at that time because you should not talk. You know? Now we teach children, don't talk to strangers. You know, that was a question that you should not talk. Besides, she was not even Jewish, and in a society that divided things at that time. What is pure, what is impure. Of course, pure being the one who followed Moses' law strictly, and impure all those who didn't. would be anyone outside of, you know, outside of the world, of the Jewish world. So she was a woman, she was impure, she was a Gentile, and they were outside. And Jesus remained silent when she came after. But the disciples, and that teaches that said, Lord, send her away. We don't need her. Send her away. She's not one of us. She does not belong with us. So send her away. And says that Jesus remained silent. And then she says, she you know, give him homage. And she said, my daughter, she needs help. Help me, Master. She recognized in Jesus the Master, the Lord. And then we have a very, very tough and unsettling answer from Jesus. Could we say, you know, I don't want to say something that say, oh, Father is saying things. Could we say that this could be a moment for Jesus also of, you know, realizing that his mission was indeed bigger than the mission to Israel? Realizing the sense of becoming and showing others. We know he knew his mission. Because when he tells the woman, you know, I came for Israel, for the lost sheep of Israel, not for the outsiders. I cannot take the bread from them and throw it to the dogs. That's tough words. Yet she came up with a better answer. And I don't want the main course. I can satisfy with the scraps that falls from the master's table. That will be enough of a grace that I need. And then Jesus praises her, saying, great is your faith. That is a great praise. Great is your faith. And her daughter was healed. And she received the grace that she was looking for. It's interesting because we see the word of Jesus, or not only his word, his teaching, but also his miracles were available to all. And we find that in scriptures, conversions, those who came and he accepted them. The sinners who came close to him, he called some of them. Matthew was one of them, who was working in a profession that he was considered a sinner, a tax collector. And everybody said, wow. And he said, come, follow me. And he went to the house of Zacchaeus, another tax collector. Everybody knew him. Oh, he is, you know, he works and he's not very honest, probably, in his profession. And he's working for the Roman Empire. He stayed with him. And Zacchaeus showed signs of conversion. So Jesus was preaching to all. At the very end of Matthew's gospel, after Jesus' resurrection, when he gathered, before his ascension, when he gathered his disciples, he commanded them, he commissioned them, go into the world and preach the good news to all nations. He didn't say to these or to that, exclude one, skip another, to all nations. What he had done, his disciples were to follow. And that's where what he can teach us this. What can teach us the universality, I don't know if that's the right word, the universality of God's message and God's grace. We know and we believe and we preach that we are all created in God's likeness, in God's image, that we are all children of the same God. And that's why it It's interesting how this word helps us so much to understand, because as followers of Jesus, as Christians, as Catholics, we cannot tolerate, in the sense, of course, in the sense, what is sometimes going on. Now, we have seen this past week so, and time and again, that comes over, signs of hate. The whole thing of supremacy, the whole thing of racism, the whole thing of discrimination against other fellow human beings, the whole thing of seeing the world divided as in the us and them, and treating the world, if they are not with us, they don't belong to us. Remember the apostles. They needed conversion too. They told Jesus, send her away. We have nothing to do with this woman. Jesus showed otherwise. We have everything to do. In that case, healing the woman's daughter. Now, when we see what is going on in the whole world, but now more than ever is knocking at our very door, what is our reaction to that? Where are we? We cannot say, well, I don't have any opinion for that, because we all do. What is the answer of a Jesus' disciples, us, today? Do we see a world divided? Well, it is. There is division there, for sure. But do we go on with that division? Or do we believe that we have to go beyond all of it? That we have to break down barriers. That we have to question people. And we have to stand with our faith. And there is no place in Christianity for that discrimination, for an idea of supremacy. We're all created by the same God. We all receive the gifts that God has given us, each one has received, but no better, no worse. There's no place for discrimination against another because his skin color is different. Because he has an accent when he speaks. Because he was not born here. And we can go on the because of this, because of that. And we can try to find so many excuses. But none of them will be enough if we call ourselves Christians. We're called to build bridges. We are called to reach out. We are called to live in communion. That's what we do here. You, or each one of us, usually would not invite to sit at our table, especially on a beautiful occasion, a special occasion, somebody who is not familiar with us. We reserve those moments for those who are close family, close friends. Yet that's what we do here. We break the bread, the word of God. And it's like, you know, when we give communion, we give hosts, because that's the most practical, has been used for a long time in the church and everything. But it could be We can imagine just if it was a big table and we were all around it, and a bread would be there and would be sharing the same bread and giving each other the same bread, the body of the Lord, the memory or the memorial he chose to be with us. And we would not be really truthful to ourselves and to God if we could not do that with a free heart. I know there might be feelings, and we all live in a way of conversion. And, you know, what is important is this: where am I directing my life? Am I allowing the hatred and all this talk influence the way I think and my decision and say, yeah, that is right? Or am I questioning, if I feel those things, am I questioning that? Where is that coming from? That shouldn't be there if I am a follower of Jesus. If I believe that the one next to me is my brother, is my sister, I cannot tell them, as if the apostles were telling Jesus, send her away. No. We are all sojourners in this life. Our true home is heaven. So it's better for us to walk as one family. And walking as one family, we're going to see the Lord has distributed many gifts to all. But as long as we see the world as divided between us and them, we're not able to cross that bridge yet. But we should go in that direction and not allow fear, doubts, hatred overcome the goodness, the love that God has shown us, that Jesus has shown us, and that's what he's asking from his disciples. That's what he's asking from each one of us, to create a better world that is possible when we convert our hearts, our minds, our actions.